Man, he remembered to forget. I'm glad that when God forgives, he forgets. Hard for us to even comprehend that because we can't do that. We can try to forgive and we forgive, but we cannot forget. But God does. And I'm so thankful for a God who loves us unconditionally and forgives us every time we ask. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Very familiar passage to most Christians. In fact, I know as a little kid, I memorized these two passages in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. But we think about our theme again, launch out into the deep. And one of the biggest questions or one of the biggest assessments we make of that launching out into the deep there in Luke chapter 5 is that the disciples trusted the Lord. They trusted the Lord. And we'll be talking more about that as we go throughout the year. But this morning I want to just take a little time and just preach on be careful where you lean. Let's look here at Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths." He shall direct thy paths. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You again this morning for all that You've done for us. We pray that You bless this time, bless the reading of Your Word. I do pray that we would, through Your Word and through the message, that we would learn and grow to trust in You. In Jesus' name, amen. We hear a lot about leaning today. We think about a lot of the questions we ask about politics is, which way do you lean? I'll just start off by the very front saying I lean to the right. And we lean in other ways to think about the leaning tire of Pisa. You got to have the right foundation or you're going to lean the wrong way, right? One of the things that always happens when you're painting, it seems like it never fails. You're painting a wall or whatever, or you go through a building like this building when we were building the new auditorium, and a lot of painting's going on. And you know, the people come back to touch up paint and nobody knows about it, and you lean against the wall and you get paint on your hands. Never happened to you? Or you lean over and you paint. Anyway. Yeah, this happened to me. I know it's happened to you too. You're just prideful about it. Be careful where you lean. Be careful where you lean. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Can I tell you this morning, we need to learn to lean on Jesus. We need to learn to lean on Jesus. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm leaning on Jesus, right? I want to learn to lean on Jesus. By the way, if we learn to lean and trust in Him, the results are a right direction, to go the right direction, that He will direct your paths. And as we launch out into the deep this year, we must learn to trust Jesus. We must learn to trust our Lord. Sermon over. Let's go home. Give it to you all up front. Amen. Learn to trust the Lord. Learn to trust Him every time. Learn to trust Him every time. Let's look at this verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I believe this morning we need to learn to trust Him entirely. Learn to trust Him entirely. By the way, that trust is based upon something. It's based upon His power. Can I remind you that the Bible says there in John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, speaking of Jesus, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ, our Savior, was actively involved in the creation. The creation of the world. The creation of the universe. Can I remind you this morning that it was the Lord who created the sun, the moon, and the stars. It was the Lord who created the trees. And I'm telling you today that Jesus Christ has all power. That He is all powerful. All powerful. And the disciples witnessed this on many occasions. We think about the miracles in which Jesus performed, in which He healed the sick, He raised the dead. Amen? You think about Him calming the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Could you imagine being in that boat when He said, "Peace be still," and the waves stopped just like that? I mean, none of this sloshing around, none of this continued motion. When Jesus said, peace be still, like glass. Our Savior is all powerful. He can do anything. And because He is all powerful, and because we know and the disciples witnessed this, we can trust Him. We trust Him entirely because of His person and because of His work. His work. Work what? His finished work on Calvary. I'm trusting Him as my Savior. I'm trusting Him because of what He did for me on the cross. In other words, I owe it to Him to trust Him. I owe it to Him. My mom and dad got together, got married, and met in a skating alley, here in Fort Worth somewhere, I believe. And they got married and had children. And they sacrificed, and they raised us, and they're still putting up with us. And because of all that my parents have done for me, I trust them. They put a lot of effort into me. Put a lot of effort into my brother and my sister. Listen, Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price. He gave His life for you. He gave His life for me. We owe it to Him to trust Him. Our assurance and our confidence should be in Him. By the way, this trust, when it says trust in the Lord, this is speaking of that trust like a childlike trust. I know most all of us here in the auditorium at one time learned to swim. And I think I've relayed the story. It's been a long time ago. But I grew up, in the country. My grandparents owned a farm. The same farm my great grandparents owned, and we spent a lot of summers and Christmas breaks and things up there on the farm. And so we learned to swim in the ponds and the tanks that the cows drink out of, that the little fishies swim in. None of this cement pond stuff, right? It's a Beverly Hillbillies analogy. You guys, come on now. And so anyway, we learned to swim that way in the Bowie Lake. You know, so I can remember my dad holding me out there and, holding me up and let me kick and whatever. And I don't think floaties were real popular back then. I don't remember floaties. But it was kind of... But I remember at one point, my dad just kind of chunking me out there and saying, get at it, boy. You know, it was time. And you flail around a little bit and finally, you get it and you come back and you're swimming, you know. When my dad chunked me out in the water... I trusted Him. I trusted Him not only that He chunked me out there, but I trusted that He would save me if something was to happen. Just a childlike trust. We do that with our parents growing up, don't you?
Yeah.
That childlike trust, whether it's dad saying, jump to daddy, and you jump, you trust dad. Right? Mama puts the food out on the table, you trust that it's not poison, right? I mean, we trust our parents. We have that childlike trust, that childlike faith in our parents. And that's what God is saying here in Proverbs. He's saying, or Solomon's saying to his son. This is and I didn't mention that, but the background here is Solomon's given wisdom to his son. He's saying, listen, son, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Have that childlike trust. The trust that you have of me as your dad is the same trust you should have of the Heavenly Father. That childlike trust. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. As we launch out into the deep in our own lives and in our church life, we need to trust in the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord with all our heart. This simply means being totally committed to Him. Totally committed to Him. Commitment is one of those things today that's very rare. Think about Brother Tim Abrams. 13 years commitment to leading the music here. Several years never missing a service. That's commitment. The day of someone working, my pawpaw, my dad's dad, worked 30 years for Koch Industries, K-O-C-H, Koch Industries. At that time, they were the largest independent oil company in the world, and still now, I believe they're the largest privately owned company in the world. It's amazing. But he worked for them for 30 years. He was loyal to them. He was committed to that company. And my dad worked for them for 27 years. He was committed to that company until they started. And again, about that time, about 15 years ago, Coke started selling everything off. And that's really about 20 years ago when companies really stopped being what they used to be. I don't have all the answers to all that. But then there became a lack of commitment from employees as well. A lack of commitment from the employer and a lack of commitment from the employees, right? Right? And so today it's hard for us, especially the younger generation, to conceive what commitment really is. Marriages. Marriages start, marriages end, marriages start up again with somebody else. There's a lack of commitment today. By the way, marriage is a commitment. One man, one woman, married for a lifetime. Amen? And of course, I'm glad the Lord forgives and we go on and man, you commit to the next one. Amen? But there is a lack of commitment. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Totally committed to Him. Total commitment to Him. Total trust in Him. We must be totally trusting in Him. Jesus said to those lawyers, He said, they were asked the question, which is the great commandment in the Old Testament? And Jesus said to them, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. We see this same law repeated throughout the New Testament. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is also repeated in the Old Testament. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Total commitment to Him. Totally committed to Him. Trust Him. Proverbs 28, verse 26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. That's pretty harsh words. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Listen, we shouldn't trust in our own heart. We should put all our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We should trust Him with all our heart. That means on good days, trust Him. That means on bad days, trust Him. That means on rainy days, trust Him. That means on clear days, we should trust Him. That means throughout our daily life, we should trust Him with all our heart as we walk this life. Every trial we face, every test we face, every tribulation that we face as human beings, we should trust in the Lord with all our heart, totally committed to Him. Totally, just like I was totally trusting in my dad growing up, I totally trust God for whatever comes my way, good or bad, clear or cloudy. No matter what comes my way, I'm totally trusting Him. Whether I'm happy or sad, I totally trust Him. I know He has my best interest in mind. Always has my best interest in mind. I trust in Him with all my heart. Let me spend just a couple of seconds or minutes on the word heart. The heart, by definition, is this. The innermost awareness and consequential attitude that results from the collective input of the mind, the will, and the emotions. Listen, our heart, when the Bible refers to our heart, 90% of the time it's referring to the mind, the will, and the emotions. The heart means that inward source of what I think and what I'm feeling and what I'm wanting. It's that part within us that reasons, that is passionate, and that is determined. The heart is my mind, my thinking. The heart is my feelings. The heart is my wanting. The heart is my mind, my will, and my emotions. So connect the dots here. Ready? So I'm to trust the Lord with all my heart. All my heart. As we trust Him, we think biblically on a matter until the Lord gives us light, which moves our emotions, and then we act on it. When we are trusting Him with all our heart is that we are thinking. So we could use this. I wrote a couple of examples down. I'm going to give the big one here in just a second. But when the Bible says, take my yoke upon you, for I am meek in heart, and you found rest to your souls. When the Bible says, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. When the Bible says that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. When the Bible, you understand the principle, the truth is that no matter what's going on in our life, if we'll take that burden to the Lord and cast Him on, and He'll take care of that for us. If we'll take His yoke upon us, for it is easy and light. The cares of this world are not easy and light. So we take His yoke upon us. So, at night, we're going through a trial. Let's say we've gone through a trial, we're going through a trial, and we lay down at night and we're thinking through that trial. We're facing financial problems, we're facing health problems, we're facing family issues, whatever it may be, job situation, and we're thinking through. And all of a sudden, the Lord brings to our mind, cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. And I began to think and ponder upon that passage. Maybe I open my Bible up on a morning when I'm going through a trial, and that's the actual verse that my devotion is about. And throughout the day, I'm thinking upon it, and as I think upon it, the Lord begins to give me light concerning it. In other words, He begins to make it real to me. Hang on, the Lord will do that for you. I'm telling you, we are to meditate therein day and night. As we meditate upon the Word of God, God will make it real to you. The Holy Spirit will give you light. He will give you understanding. And as you begin to get that light from the Holy Spirit, it moves you emotionally. There's been times, and I no doubt you have too, that where you have read your Bible and some truth came across to you and it moved you emotionally. You've been in a service. No doubt. I was in the service Tuesday night. I was moved emotionally by the message that Brother House preached. As I thought through what he was preaching, as I heard the truth, I was moved emotionally. As you read your Bible and you regard that truth and you are moved emotionally, that is your heart. And then you act upon it. That's your heart. That is your heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust Him with all your heart, with all your being, with all that you are. You trust in Him. Trust Him through the good times. Trust Him through the bad times. Trust Him through the happy times. Trust Him through the sad times. You trust in Him. You don't just trust in Him, you know, as you're trusting in that chair that you're sitting on, but you trust Him with all your heart. All your heart. Your emotions. Your will. Your thinking. And then also, of course, your wanting or your acting upon it. Your determination. For instance, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart, that is not talking about your pumping organ. That is not talking about that thing that's in your chest. And we at Heritage Baptist Church, we try to be careful with our children around here. Sometimes there's a very popular saying. The saying is asking Jesus into your heart. By the way, that's nowhere found in the Bible. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll tell a child, well, won't you ask Jesus in their heart? And that 5-6-year-old is thinking, Jesus is going to jump into my heart? They think concretely. They think that way. You've got to be careful. So when the Bible says, believe in thine heart, it's not talking about your pumping organ in your chest. It's talking about that inward person that you are, that mind, the thinking, that will, that emotions, that heart, that who you are. Believe in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. By the way, the greatest decision you can make today is to trust in Jesus Christ with all your heart. For salvation. You say salvation from what? Well, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, salvation from God's wrath, which is hell, is found through the finished work of Jesus Christ and what He did for me on the cross. When He laid there, laid Himself down that cross, was raised up, and there He died on that cross, shed His blood for me, He died for my sins. The Bible says that God laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And there Jesus Christ on the cross paid the price for my sins. For the wages of sin is death. The penalty of sin is death. And Jesus paid that penalty for me. He died in my place. They placed Him in a tomb for 3 days. But on the third day He rose again from the dead, proving He had paid for our sins in full. And proving He had no sins of His own. Listen, you must trust in the Lord with all thine heart for salvation. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth confession is made of salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's simply coming to the Lord. Salvation is found by simply coming to the Lord, repenting of your sins, acknowledging your sin, coming to Him, say, Lord, forgive me my sins. Lord, I do believe that You live. I believe that You live. I believe that You died for me. And I believe that You rose again from the dead. Lord, save me. And the Lord will save you if you will trust in Him. if you will trust in Him. You say, well, I don't fully understand that. Let me just encourage you this. Go home and think about it. Go home and think about what the Bible says. And as you think about it, I believe the Holy Spirit will convict you and give you further light and more understanding. And you will be moved emotionally and you will act upon it if you will simply think about it. That's thinking with your heart. That's believing with your heart. That's trusting with your heart. We ought to trust Him entirely. Trust Him entirely. The disciple Peter said to the Lord Jesus there in Luke chapter 5, they had fished all night, but he said to Jesus, when Jesus said to him, well, cast your net out, launch out into the deep and cast your net out. And Peter said, well, we've been fishing all night, Lord. We've caught nothing. I'm a commercial fisherman, Peter said. I know what I'm doing. I'm summarizing what he said and what he was thinking. But he said what? Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net for a draught. Nevertheless, at thy word. See, it was trusting in the word of the Lord. How could the disciples, how could Peter trust in his word? Well, because of what Luke chapter 4 says. Luke chapter 4, Peter's mother-in-law got healed. By the way, Peter had a mother-in-law. Some of y'all get that. Peter had a mother-in-law, and even though she was his mother-in-law, he still asked the Lord to heal her, and he did. I have a good mother-in-law. I don't like mother-in-law jokes. My mother-in-law cooks real good. I appreciate my mother-in-law. Peter, why could Peter say to Jesus, after he had told all night fishing, at thy word I will? Because he'd already seen the miracles of Luke chapter 4. He'd already seen God work. He'd already seen the Lord Jesus work. And therefore he trusted Him. And he let down their net. And of course we know the story. They had a big draught. Listen to me. Listen this morning. Trusting is the key. Trusting is the key word here. As John Phillips said this, he said, God is dependable. God cannot lie. He never makes a mistake. He has no ulterior motives. You know, how many people that we put our trust in have ulterior motives? God has no ulterior motives. Our Lord Jesus has no ulterior motives. He is never unkind. And He loves us unconditionally. Listen to me this morning. Our Savior is worthy to be trusted. He is worthy to be trusted. By the way, He expects us to trust Him. And He expects that trust to grow. When we first get saved, a trust is small. And as we grow in the Lord, the trust gets bigger. Just like in marriage, when we first get married, you know, our relationship with our wife, our spouse is small. And then as we grow together, the love grows, the trust grows. Amen? Amen? It should. The same thing with our children. As we grow up, our children, most of the time, for most, that trust for our parents grows. And God is expecting us to trust Him. The Lord Jesus is expecting us to trust Him and for that trust to grow. I'm not going to sing it, but that song, Learning to Lean on Jesus. Learning to lean. Y'all remember the story? Learning to lean on Jesus. It is a learning process. Learning to lean on Him. Job, all the things that happened to Job. Loss of his 10 children who died. His wife came to him and said, Job, won't you just curse God and die? Job, who was afflicted physically from head to toe with a disease. In fact, when his three friends showed up, they didn't even recognize him. And yet he said to his three friends there in Job chapter 15, that though God slay him, yet will I trust in Him. Amen. Job trusted in the Lord. We should trust Him entirely. We should trust Him exclusively. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Listen, there are no other but Him that we should trust. Lean not. To lean on one's own ability spells defeat and disaster. Philippians chapter 3 verse 3 says that we should have no confidence in the flesh. We live in a day and age in which humanism is prominent. We live in a day and age in which self-esteem has been pushed upon everybody. And listen, it's not about self-esteem, it's about Christ's esteem. I'm thankful today that my self-worth is not based upon me, it's based upon what Jesus Christ did for me on Calvary. And I tell you what, we should not lean upon ourselves. Lean not unto thine own understanding. We should not lean upon our flesh, but we should put our trust in the Lord. By the way, it is normal for people, especially younger, not to trust the older. And I know we're talking about kids and relationships, that's different with their parents. But you think about it, most young people have a hard time taking the advice of an older person. Most do. I'm thankful I was raised in a home where I was taught better than that. But if you just go out here and find the average 25-year-old and see how much advice they take from a 65-year-old. It's not normal. But can I tell you this morning that we should have no confidence in the flesh. Young people, you ought to take advice from those who are older than you. Hang on, you should get advice from them. We should trust the Lord. Lean upon Him. Lean not unto thine own understanding. That word understanding means wisdom, that we should not lean upon our own wisdom. And I again remind you, the Bible says in James chapter 1 that wisdom comes from God. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God. True wisdom comes from God. True understanding comes from God. And we ought to trust in Him with all our heart and lean not unto our understanding. In other words, when that difficulty comes, and even if it's not a difficulty, even if it's a good time, whatever it may be, we should bow humbly before Him. We should humble ourselves and cast ourselves before the Lord and trust in Him. Trust in Him. Trials come, and many times we reason within ourselves. A trial comes and we begin to reason what we're going to do about it. Right? All of us do that. And sometimes when we begin to do that and reason within ourselves, we stifle faith. What if the trial you're going through, as we know the disciples were told by Jesus to go out there into the Sea of Galilee, and a storm came. They were in God's will, and yet they were still in a storm. Just because you're facing a trial does not necessarily mean you're out of God's will. You may be smack dab in the middle of it. And how are you going to know that unless you go to the Lord and trust Him with it? Lean not into that own understanding. When you come to a trial, the first thing you should do is not go to yourself and begin to reason within yourself. The first thing you should do is go to the Lord. The first thing you should not do is go to an older person for advice. The first thing you should do is go to the Lord. The first thing you should do is humble yourself before God and throw yourself at His feet and pray to Him for understanding and pray to Him for help. And He will help you. I'm not saying you shouldn't. As I said a moment ago, there's wisdom in the multitude of counselors. But I believe that wisdom from the multitude of counselors should happen after you go to the Lord. Seek the Lord. By the way, the Bible says He's not very far from any of us. Trust Him exclusively. We tend towards our own preservation, right? So when we're going through a trial, we tend towards preserving ourselves. When God, again, may be taking us through that trial and have a reason for it. In other words, He may not want the trial to end right then. But we'll have a tendency to pull ourselves out of it if we're not careful when God's not finished. I think about Moses. Moses, that mighty leader of Israel, who was asked of God to go back to Pharaoh, go back to Egypt, and to bring his people up out of Egypt. We know that Moses was trained in the best schools in Egypt, that maybe even had been in line to be Pharaoh one day. He'd been schooled in the best schools. Can you imagine as Moses left out of Egypt with that 2 million Jews, and they came to the Red Sea, deep waters of the Red Sea, and behind them, Pharaoh's army was coming, right on their heels. And Moses, who had been learned in all the wisdom of Egypt, learned in all the schools of Egypt, when he saw the Red Sea in front of him, and he saw the soldiers behind him, I don't think he sat down and began to calculate. I wonder how many Jews I could use as a shield. We'll just use them as shields and put them out there. No. What did he do? He went to the Lord. He cast himself before the Lord. And the summarization just basically said, Lord, you're going to do something here. And the Lord said, go forward. Tell the people to go forward. And I could just say within his, you know, that school and that his mind and all the schooling and all the wisdom and all the knowledge that he had, I could just think in the back of his mind, he may have been thinking, there's water in front of me. And you just want me to take my rod and... No, I don't know if he was thinking that or not. I don't believe he was. I think he trusted the Lord because of what he had already seen. Yeah. And when he went to that water and he lifted up that rod, he knew God was going to do something impossible. And God did. He did the impossible. He parted the waters and Israel crossed onto the other side on dry ground. Can I just again encourage you this morning, trust in the Lord. Don't lean into your own understanding. God can do the impossible. God can make a way where there is no way. Not only should we trust Him entirely and exclusively, but we should be confident in Him. In other words, trust the Lord with all thine heart, lean not into thy own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. We need to acknowledge Him in every area of our life. Not only do we need to trust Him, but we need to acknowledge Him. In other words, just acknowledge your dependence upon Him. Acknowledge your dependence. Every step of life should be that of dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The big things, the small things, all our stuff, we need to acknowledge our dependence upon Him. Our personal and our financial, our health, our eternal well-being should all be dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Simple dependence upon Him. Acknowledge Him. Take everything to Him in prayer. First, as I said a moment ago, first. Go to Him first. Acknowledge your dependence upon Him. Take everything to prayer to Him first. Everywhere that Abraham went, he built an altar, acknowledging his dependence upon the Lord. Everywhere that Abraham stopped, he built an altar, acknowledging his dependence upon the Lord. It would be good for us just to acknowledge our dependence upon Him. Simple dependence. Acknowledging our dependence through prayer. Lord, I need You. Lord, I need You. I am trusting in You and You alone to guide me. Go to Him every morning, acknowledging your dependence upon Him. Go to Him every morning, acknowledge your need for Him. And I would encourage you to have a pliable spirit, because whatever you have reasoned out may be wrong. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead and direct you. If you will trust in Him, if you will depend upon Him, if you will acknowledge Him, the results are, the reward is guidance. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy path. I'd much rather Him direct my path than me direct my path. I've been off of that many times. I've been on my own path many times. I can recognize it now most of the time. I've stepped over here onto my own trail. Get back over here, amen? Oh, you know what I'm talking about. When you get out of the will of God and you know it, when you've done something, a sins in your life and you know it, and you're off on your own trail, we need to acknowledge Him and trust Him with all our heart. And if we'll do so, He will direct our paths. And no matter what you may be going through, if you will trust Him, if you will trust Him with all your heart and acknowledge Him, He will, and I'm going to use the term, He will come through for you every time. He will direct you every time. And no matter whether you're facing a health problem or you're facing a financial problem, you're facing some wayward child or a family situation, maybe you and your spouse are crossways, or whatever the case is, whatever's going on in your life, if you will just simply trust Him, if you'll simply trust Him with all your heart, your mind, your will, your emotions, and acknowledge your dependence upon Him, He will direct your path. One author said this, actually it was Dr. Barber, when one obeys the not in lean not, he is guaranteed the presence and provision of God. I love that. Hang on, let's say it one more time. You'll get this. When one obeys the not in lean not into that own understanding, he is guaranteed the presence and provision of God. Lean not into that own understanding. And if you will not lean into your own understanding, He will guide and direct your paths.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It's trusting Him. Trusting Him with all your heart. It's acting upon that work that He did for us on Calvary. It's acting upon those works we have seen Him do in our own life. We must obey Him. We should obey Him. And if we will and acknowledge Him, simply depend upon Him, He will direct our paths every time. Trust in Him. You probably all heard the little story, and it's been mentioned by many different preachers. The story of the little boy watching the tightrope walker on Niagara Falls, 160 feet above Niagara Falls, and this tightrope walker was walking back and forth across it. And then the tightrope walker got the wheelbarrow and was taking the wheelbarrow back and forth. And the little boy said to the tightrope walker, "That's amazing. That's amazing. That's beyond amazing." Tightrope walker asked him, "Well, you've seen me walk across it many times. Do you trust me?" The little boy said, "Oh, yeah, you can do it. You can do it every time. That's amazing." Tightrope walker asked him to get in the barrel. "Get in the wheelbarrow." Little boy, "No way. I'm not getting that wheelbarrow." You know, we say we trust the Lord, but we won't get in the wheelbarrow. I know it was funny. We say we trust Him, but we're facing that trial in our life, and we won't get in the wheelbarrow. Listen, be careful where you're leaning. Be careful where you're leaning. Lean on the Lord. Amen. Let's all stand.